this week, continuing through the upcoming weekend, has been and is National Fishing and Boating Week, an annual event and a topic of this program on several episodes over past years. I would also add that tomorrow is National Get Outdoors Day, so you've got special events folks out there just being absolutely pushy with the idea of getting people outside doing stuff. And I think that's a right fine thing. I have commented on here before that urging those of us around rural Alaska to get out and participate in activities that involve boats and fish is a fairly huge case of preaching to the choir. Seriously, how many of you need any prodding to take it outside and, by golly, do a bit of fishing and boating while you're out there? Exactly. It's possible, maybe even probable, that you've been hard at it for a number of weeks now, ahead of a week-long celebration you may or may not have known was happening. Be that as it may, this week is National Fishing and Boating Week, and tomorrow is National Get Outdoors Day. So let's consider each and give a bit of thought to fishing and boating. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. Fishing around Bristol Bay is different from fishing in a lot of other places because it comes in several forms. Across the lower 48 and other places in Alaska, mention fishing and the first thing that comes to mind is a rod and reel of some sort. Certainly that's the focus of the national celebration I mentioned. But here, it's something of a Cerberus, a three-headed beast, the name coming from the Hound of Hades from Greek mythology. Our three-headed fishing beast is commercial fishing, subsistence fishing, and sport fishing, in no particular order. And all three are rapidly advancing right now. Last week, during the episode on wall tents, I mentioned my one buddy getting set up for sport fishing up the Nushagak. He's not alone. I know a bunch of folks doing the same. Also, guides and lodges are in full swing awaiting the onrush of people from out of state that come here to sport fish. Commercial fishing is easy to watch unfold for those of us in Dillingham. The boat yards get busy, the small boat harbor begins to flood with commercial vessels, and the town is suddenly populated with people that don't look familiar. And perhaps the biggest one for many is subsistence fishing, getting those freezers refilled yet again. I've seen a few Facebook posts from friends that show salmon are beginning to trickle in. Heck, by the time you're hearing this, it may be more than a trickle. I'd be willing to bet dollars to donuts that it's a very, very, very small percentage of people around the Bristol Bay region that aren't affected by or participating in fishing in some form. So yeah, we've got that covered. Since the celebratory week is about sport fishing, I'm going to spend a bit of time on that, while acknowledging that for most Bristol Bay residents, the other two types of fishing are far more important. First of all, National Fishing and Boating Week began in 1979 as National Fishing Week. It was created to recognize the wonderful tradition of fishing, to promote a spirit of togetherness, and to share the values and knowledge held by the anglers of today with future anglers. Early June was chosen as the time to celebrate these activities because in many parts of our country, June is when fishing and boating really start to take off. Also, in places that charge folks to boat and fish, many states waive such fees for a short period of time and have free fishing days, often in the early parts of June, and people are able to get after it without any license tags or permits. National Fishing and Boating Week is promoted by a national organization called the Recreational Boating and Fishing Foundation. The Recreational Boating and Fishing Foundation is a nonprofit organization dedicated to growing participation in fishing, boating, and aquatic stewardship. In my opinion, those are pretty good things to grow. They partner with many industry, state, and federal organizations to work towards achieving that goal. Many refuges across the nation, as well as numerous state agencies and other related organizations, schedule fishing days or other local celebrations to coincide with this particular week. Many of these target young anglers specifically, but others reach out to participants of all ages. For example, I have a buddy that essentially has the same job as me for Neosho National Fish Hatchery down in Missouri. There are waters to fish, a stream and a large pond, on the grounds of the hatchery, and one of his job duties is putting on a couple of fishing days during the early parts of June each year. In fact, they have one such day scheduled for this weekend for seniors and disabled individuals, and that's just one example. There have been studies done that show money often plays a role in an individual's decision not to participate in any given activity. Big surprise, huh? Certainly, startup cost can be a deal-breaker for those getting started in many outdoor sports, fishing and boating included. However, it's been my experience that most outdoor activities can be as costly or inexpensive as you choose to make them. Good fun and good times can be had without taking out a second mortgage. Just because your neighbor has $50,000 tied up in his fishing boat, rods, reels, and other equipment, doesn't mean that you need that much to get started, if in fact you're just getting started. In particular, fishing can be relatively inexpensive. Most outdoor equipment outlets, from Cabela's to Walmart, offer inexpensive rod-reel combinations of varying qualities. I have never spent more than maybe $20 on a rod or reel for one of my kids, often from the bargain bin at Cabela's or from Amazon or eBay, and they've done fine with what they've been provided. There are other sources of inexpensive gear as well. Locally, try hitting a few garage sales. At times here in Dillingham, it seems like we have as many garage sales as people. Fishing gear can often be found amongst what's for sale and at a price most anyone can afford. Also, broadcast your interest to friends and family members. They may have leads to people or sources for gear. The bottom line, fishing gear costs should never be what keeps you from fishing, if fishing is what you want to do. Boating's a bit of a different matter, though there are still relatively inexpensive options for those not wanting to drop thousands just to get out on the water. Inflatable boats and rafts can be good startup options, provided common sense and safety are adhered to. Canoes can be an absolute joy. They're lightweight, paddle easily, and get you into some places you might otherwise not have access to. Ditto kayaks, which seem to be very popular around the area. It may take a bit of perseverance, but good, dependable used canoes and kayaks can be had for as little as a couple of $100. Keep your ears open for local opportunities, as good deals often don't last long. Craigslist is another option for shopping within the state, as a lot of people use that site to advertise, and sellers are often willing to deliver to one of the air freight companies. Larger boats can be found, too. The skiff that my family currently uses, a 20-foot Aluma Weld with a 90-horse kicker, I found on Craigslist and had barged in for a lot less than I would have paid locally. The point is to just be diligent in looking for options that can get you on the water. As an example of getting on the water for not a lot of money, many years ago, when times were still lean and early in my marriage, we had two inflatables that got us around just fine on smaller waters around Dillingham. One was an inflatable canoe that was outstanding for two people. At 32 pounds, it was easy to carry around also. I'm sure that they've went up in price, but ours set us back $300 or so, and with free shipping. We also had a raft that we paired with a trolling motor. All told, the raft and motor were under $200. I still have both of those inflatables and use them from time to time, though I have better options that get used more now. As in any activity you choose to do, be safe and be legal. Make sure you have all the necessary license and permits to do what it is you choose to do. It may be as simple as having a current fishing license, or it could involve a bit more. For example, for those around Dillingham who will be fishing for kings up the Nishigek in the coming weeks, you'll need a king tag and possibly a land use permit. It may be similar for those living in other communities. My point is, make sure you've got all your I's dotted and T's crossed. And as always, take the time to be safe. Don't take unnecessary chances. I plan to have a bit more in the coming weeks on safety, through one of the summer interns that we have hired. In closing, I want to point out that, in my humble opinion, there's absolutely nothing like being outdoors in Alaska. Alaska has a mystique to it that often causes people not from Alaska to go weak in the knees when they hear about it. I'd like to think it still has that effect on those of us who do live here also. I know Alaska does that to me, and I've been here for well over 2 decades now. Fishing and boating are 2 activities that allow us to feel that sensation about our state. They pull us out of the walls that all too often surround us and give us something to feel really good about, a chance to commune with nature in a way that mere words fall utterly short of being able to describe. In the words of famed poet William Blake, "Great things are done when men and mountains meet. This is not done by jostling in the street." For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.